Birthing from the Inside Out is a place where we gather to talk about how pregnancy and birth transform us. I'm your host, Shannon Backus, certified birth doula and childbirth educator for over 10 years. I hope you'll grab a cup of coffee and join us for fun, gritty, and educational conversations all about birth. From detailed birth stories to insights from birth professionals and birth-related services, each episode will help you evaluate just how transformed by birth you've been from the inside out. Disclaimer, this podcast does not provide medical advice or diagnoses. All content is for educational purposes only. Seek the advice and recommendations of your medical practitioner. On today's episode, I chat with certified nurse midwife Tiffany in a crucial conversation about midwifery care in the United States. She shares pieces of her own transformative birth experiences with us and how they impacted the course of her professional life and the current care of her clients. Birth changes all of us from the inside out, so come along with me and discover just how true that is for Tiffany. Please note, this episode contains the beautiful life story and heartbreaking loss of her daughter Vivian.
Believing I play a small part in improving women's health and offering, you know, traditional to alternative therapies in my care is a huge piece. And then, you know, it goes back to throughout your training, throughout working as a labor and delivery nurse, being a clinic nurse, you certainly witness some injustices done in the, you know, women's health. And so that very much is a driving force, again, to be that alternative, to be a provider that does better.
Welcome back to the Birthing from the Inside Out podcast. And today I am just delighted to have my friend Tiffany on the show. Tiffany is a certified nurse midwife working in an out-of-hospital setting in Missouri. And so thanks so much, Tiffany, for taking time out of your day to spend with us to help us learn more about your role as a midwife and your scope of practice.
You're welcome. And thank you so much, Shannon, for inviting me. It's a huge honor to be a part of this. And I am truly hoping that your podcast reaches far and wide.
Thank you. Well, you and I met several years ago at a spinning babies training, and it just was kind of serendipitous, and we hit it off right out the gate.
So we did.
Yeah, it was really fun to have that connection. Why don't you take some time just to introduce yourself to our listeners and to help them get to know you a little better?
Sure. Personally, I was born and raised in Illinois and remained there up until 2018, so the majority of my life in Illinois. I have been married to one of the greats. He's a great man of 25 years coming up in September. We are blessed to do life with our two sons here on earth. Ethan is 21, Nolan is 18, soon to be 19. We also have two losses. One was an early loss in 2008, and then we had a late term loss at 34 weeks in October of 2015, mm-hmm. a baby girl, Vivian. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely a huge part of our story. Professionally, I actually started out as an art educator when I first went to college and was an art teacher for 4 years, and then got married, started our family. So I stayed home for a number of years. And really, you know, having kids, and which I know we'll get into this further, but mm-hmm. having kids changes you. So I pivoted and wanted to become a nurse midwife. Thankfully, I have a very supportive husband and went to nursing school, went on to be a OBGYN clinic nurse for 2 years. And then I went on to be a labor and delivery nurse for 2 years and then finished my graduate school program to be a nurse midwife in 2018. I started my career off in a hospital, kind of traditional hospital clinic setting, and then moved to Missouri and have had now two birth center setting pieces as my career. So I love having all of that experience. It definitely has shaped me and made me a better midwife for sure.
Absolutely. And you've had such a wide and diverse experience in the midwifery world. Can you explain to us a little bit more about what drew you to the profession?
Sure. So really, like I kind of touched on, having kids, it's a turning point. First of all, I want to tell you, I am wired for being a critical thinker, to question things in order to understand. So take that and then get pregnant, I, you know, asked around who to go to. And so, you know, a traditional OB was recommended and went to that particular provider. And really, you know, throughout the process, I'm doing some reading, but, you know, it's all new. And I had a pretty uneventful pregnancy, although I will share, I did have undiagnosed cholestasis of pregnancy that I did present to my physician at the time and was dismissed. So that is a whole piece too. I ended up going to labor on my own at 40 weeks. I had an unmedicated delivery, pushed for 2.5 hours. And it was one of those pretty typical, you know, the doctor comes in the last, you know, hour maybe to help with pushing and then catches the baby and that's it. So I remember feeling very unsupported, you know, not heard and, you know, more or less like a number. So when I got pregnant the second time, I had already started doing my research and had come across something. I don't even remember what it was, but something about nurse midwives and their scope. So I researched if there was one in town. I actually went to another OB for my very first visit and asked her if she had known a nurse midwife in the area. So she recommended one to me. She didn't even hesitate, which, you know, was nice. Mm-hmm. So I left and went to this nurse midwife, and it was just, even that very first visit was so starkly different. Like, she wasn't in a hurry. You know, she asked me questions, got to know me, and it just seemed like she really took her time. I felt listened to. I felt empowered. And all along the way, with different interventions or screening or testing that's done typically in pregnancy, she did a really nice job of education and walking through the risks and benefits, you know, that true informed consent piece that I think oftentimes gets missed in some traditional models of care with pregnancy. So then fast forward, I actually did get cholestasis a second time. I went to my midwife and said, I think I might have this, because I did some digging, found that, you know, cholestasis really matched what I was experiencing. She didn't even hesitate. She drew labs and said, well, let's check it out. Well, sure enough, it was confirmed I had cholestasis. So I was actually induced for my second son. But even with that process, again, all along the way, you know, she was with me. I, again, felt very supported. And this was new territory. It wasn't just going to labor on my own. It took 3 days. It was a 3-day induction. But it was, again, a shared decision-making piece. Do we want to, you know, turn it off for the night so I could sleep? Do we want to keep going? I always had options. And mind you, there were, you know, there were no red flags. Baby was doing great. There was nothing else worrisome with what was happening with me. I got to deliver on hands and knees. And so again, it was a position that felt right for me at the time. And she was very supportive of that. So it really just opened up like a whole new world to me as far as having the very, very different birth stories. And it was just so impactful to me. It was, it really ignited a fire. Like, I want to do this. It was that life changing for me. So that really, in a nutshell, is what led me to want to become a nurse midwife.
And can you tell us what you do on a really practical level as a nurse midwife?
In the setting I'm in this birth center model, you know, I care for women mostly in pregnancy, through labor, birth, postpartum. But, you know, with my scope as a nurse midwife, I'm able to do so much more. And I do some gynae service at the birth center, but it is fairly limited just because, and this is a whole nother topic we can go off of, but, you know, we can do well woman exams with pap smears. We can do, you know, STI screening. If someone has concerns for being, you know, having PCOS, we can do workup for PCOS. We can do workup for pelvic pain, irregular cycles, recurrent pregnancy loss. We can assess and treat for perimenopause, menopause signs and symptoms. We can do birth control, many different options. And, you know, with those relationships that are formed, a woman can call at any time and say, hey, I think I might have this infection for either BV or yeast or UTI. So I have that scope. And actually, I'm going to backtrack a little bit. Having spent 3.5 years in New York, where I first started as a midwife, I had a leg of that practice that really just served women in a gynae setting. And I loved it. So I very much love that full scope. You know, we're able to care for women from puberty all the way through menopause. And I don't know that that's really well known in certain areas. And Missouri is definitely one of those.
What about the birth piece of the work that you do? Can you explain to us when a patient comes, you know, and sees you throughout her pregnancy and then it's time for the labor? Take us through what that experience might be like for a patient delivering at your birth center.
We have nurses that would triage our calls. We always have a midwife on 24/7, which, you know, we alternate our schedule. So whatever questions the nurse can't answer or doesn't feel comfortable to answer, then they'll give us a ring and, you know, either default to asking us so they can call the patient back, or we can call the patient directly and speak to them and work through their concerns and questions. So if we think that it's time for them to come in based on, you know, their answers to our questions, then we'll say, okay, come on in. And either the nurse or the midwife or both will be there to assess the patient initially. And sometimes, you know, it's a matter of, well, it's early labor. Maybe it's a first-time mom. Mm-hmm. She's only 1 to 2 centimeters. She's coping okay. There's no other red flags. She could potentially have the option to, you know, go home for a while. She could walk them all. They could go get a bite to eat, any of those things. But if she's actually, you know, in active labor, or if she's not coping well, sometimes too, it's an option to stay. And, you know, we can provide some labor support and work with her. And then families are welcome. We do have the option to do water births at this birth center, which is great. You know, water is great for comfort and helping to just cope with the pain of labor. Mm-hmm. So that's a great option. And then basically they stay until at least 4 hours postpartum. And really, again, a little bit gray, because if they're having difficulties with lactation, you know, have more questions or concerns, they'll stay longer. So basically they need to check all the boxes. How's their bleeding? Is their pain controlled? Is, you know, nursing going well? All of those things before they're able to go home.
Mm-hmm. And if there's a variation of normal or even emergency that requires a transfer of care, maybe to another OB or to a hospital setting, what would that look like for a patient under your care?
Great question. The beauty of where we are literally down the street from the local or one of the local hospitals. We have 2 in town. So, you know, no joke, when we call for transfer, they, you know, the EMS crew is pulling up in the parking lot even before we're hanging up the phone. Wow. So they're there that fast, which is a really good, you know, reassuring piece to tell families. And I also want to just mention too, with our birth center, and most birth centers I think are like this, but we have the same medications for like a postpartum hemorrhage, you know, a heavy bleed after having a baby. So those are the same meds that you would find at the hospital setting. You know, we have the option to do IV. We have IV fluids. We have antibiotics if you're GBS positive. All of those measures are in place, just like the hospital setting. We have oxygen too, with tubing for mom and or baby if needed. I think the birth center is just a nice alternative option from hospital birth and even a home birth. It's just that nice middle ground for those who just want something a little bit less clinical, less feeling like a number kind of experience. So then once we transfer, either a midwife or a nurse will go with that patient to help get them settled at least. We can also advocate and ask the questions that maybe the family wouldn't think of. There is sometimes even where if things go well and, you know, mom and baby are doing fine, we actually do have where we're able to discharge those families at just a couple of hours, come back to the birth center and finish their postpartum recovery with us.
Wow.
Yeah, we're actually having that happen more and more, which is really a testament to, you know, our safety record, right? Mm-hmm. And then the trust and the relationships that we have currently built with a lot of the physicians in town. Mm-hmm. So that's a really big piece, because a lot of families don't want to stay that, you know, 24 hours. It's typical at a hospital. So that's a big piece for us too.
Tell us what it's like to be you. What's it like to do what you do in the world?
I love this question, and I did think more about it. It's a wide range, and there's an ever-present weight of responsibility to keep up with best practice and tying that into meeting the wants and needs of each individual woman or family. So that's a huge piece of what I do. I have to be ready for the unexpected all of the time. I've said this story where as humans, we are pretty much wired for routine, for order, for predictability. You know, it seems kind of oxymoronic to try to choose this path because we can get called at, you know, any time, day or night. We don't know what the call is going to involve. It could be, you know, it could be this wide range. It could be a loss. It could be something joyful. Who would choose this? So yeah, it makes me chuckle. I get to experience the like off the charts spiritual joy in witnessing women doing one of the most life altering things that they were ever designed to do. And that, I don't even know how to verbalize it any better than that. I'm privileged to share the most intimate space with women during loss and grief. I mean, to be in a room and in a space with another mother of any kind of loss, I honestly don't know that you can get more intimate than that. That's part of my world. Mm-hmm. It's a pendulum of emotions all the time.
Despite the difficulties of your role, Tiffany, what keeps you coming back to this work, to being a midwife, to saying yes again and again to the unpredictability? What keeps you coming back?
Yeah. Funny because there's definitely days that you want to throw your hands up. And I know, Shannon, you felt the same. All birth workers do, that you just want to throw your hands up and say, you know, I just don't want to do this. This is too much. And, you know, I want to be a potter. I want to be a baker, whatever, just something completely different from the field. But it really does start, I would say, as simple as receiving, you know, a letter, even just someone at a postpartum visit, sharing not just something like surfacey, you know, it's a deep, pithy statement or story of affirmation of, you know, what you did for them. So, I mean, those are huge. If you didn't get those every now and then sprinkled into your, you know, your weeks or months, it might take you down a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think that believing I play a small part in improving women's health and offering, you know, traditional to alternative therapies in my care is a huge piece. And then, you know, it goes back to throughout your training, throughout working as a labor and delivery nurse, being a clinic nurse, you certainly witness some injustices done in the, you know, women's health. And so that very much is a driving force, again, to be that alternative, to be a provider that does better. Yeah, that's my short answer.
I actually want to disagree with you for a moment, Tiffany, on the piece where you're talking about playing a small role in changing women's healthcare. I actually think midwives are the biggest role changer in the healthcare setting for women. I just really feel like midwives are leading the way. And I think that when women become more educated and they understand their options, obviously obstetricians play a huge role as well. And they are very needed. We need their surgical skills. We need the higher level of clinical care that they can give. But I really think for the majority of women who are low risk, I just think that midwives are the answer. And I think that as that changes in our culture and in our country and even globally, you know, midwives are the standard of care in most European countries and, you know, in developing nations as well. So I just think that as our nation continues to become more educated and, you know, on the coast, they're more progressive. So, you know, on the West Coast and on the East Coast, midwifery care is, you know, you're seeing a midwife. Okay, that's great. Nobody even bats an eye. And even still in the Midwest, people are wondering, what's a midwife? What does a midwife do? And so I just think that your role in the world is not just a small part. I actually think it is the key to unlocking better health for women and for families in this maternal care system that, like you mentioned earlier, you know, you're not just a number. When you are a midwifery care client, you are a person and you develop that relationship with them and you get to know them. And then that carries into their labor and even into their postpartum. It's not just this rotating stream of providers that are coming in and out. You actually have an intimate connection with these people.
Yes.
So thank you for doing what you're doing in the world. I by no means think it's a small part. I think it's a huge part. And I actually, like I said, I think it's part of the answer of our crisis of maternal health care in our country. So thank you for filling that gap in our system and for doing what you do for women and families.
It's an honor. Thank you. Yeah, Shannon, for validating that. Yeah. It's funny to build off of that. You know, we've seen it, right? With COVID and in the big cities like New York, women were not, they were avoiding the hospitals, right? Mm-hmm. So they created a demand for home birth, for alternative birth settings, and midwives met that need. Mm-hmm. So I think it's the perfect example of seeing it in action. And I think that's one of my points too, that I want women, you know, listening to this podcast, know, like, we have such a huge voice as women, mm-hmm. and we don't maybe use it to the degree that we should to make the greatest impact for ourselves. We're mm-hmm. kind of falling short.
Absolutely. I agree. And I think too, you alluded earlier to your statistics and how providers in the area trust your team of midwives. And if you look at the statistics, midwifery care above and beyond shows that women and even babies are healthier under midwifery care. And so I think that once women and families grasp that concept that, hey, I'm not going to walk away from my birth experience with PTSD, I'm not going to walk away with, you know, a major abdominal surgery unless it's absolutely necessary. I think that those statistics speak for themselves, and we're having an experience where the statistics are coming out that even out of hospital setting, the reality is that the outcomes are better there too.
Yes, 100%, for yeah. sure.
Have you enjoyed listening to Birthing from the Inside Out podcast? By now, we all know about the algorithm. By leaving your ratings and reviews on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts, you'll help other people just like you find the show. Birth transforms us all from the inside out. So by simply following, rating, and reviewing, you'll be helping other families have positive transformational experiences as they carry these stories into their births. Let's take a moment to hear from our sponsor. You're about to experience one of the most important moments of your life, and probably some of the most stressful. Why should you stress more about your windows not being clean, or whether your mother-in-law will judge your dirty siding and the trees growing out of your gutters? Let squeaky clean window washing take some of that stress off your mind before baby comes and before the visitors start showing up at your home. Listeners of Birthing from the Inside Out receive a 10% discount on any service and 20% off bundled services. Visit www.squeakycleanil.com and schedule your stress-free service today. That's www.squeakycleanil.com.
Well, Tiffany, let's talk about how birth has transformed you from the inside out. I know personally you're a mother, and then also professionally, I mean, you are just drowning in how birth transforms you. So talk to us a little bit about that, how birth has just transformed you from the inside out as a mom and also as a midwife.
There are so many layers to this one, as you pointed out, for sure. So as a mom, and it's funny, I went and, you know, I've listened to some of the other guests you've had, And that universal adjective is being softer. You've been, you know, you're made softer after you become a mother. Mm-hmm. So I can definitely echo that adjective. I would add, you know, I myself became more tempered, which I guess goes along with being softer. Mm-hmm. And then I would say as a midwife and then as a mother, but just the midwife compounds it, I would say I'm much more adaptable. And then if when you add a layer of loss to all of this, two things come to mind. Instant clarity. And when I say that, I would say instant clarity in definitely how to relate to those with loss, because you know, you become an instant member of the club. And you know, it's such a profound and I would say soul crushing experience. It's not something that you would typically do alone. So you do join communities, whether that's in person or online. And so you hear all these other stories, and there are many generalizations that you can make. So being a midwife with that as part of my story, I'm definitely better able to meet the needs and come from a place of understanding of those who have a loss. And I recognize there's obstetricians, there's other birth worker people who have had losses that they couldn't stay in the field. And you can certainly understand the why. Mm-hmm. So I would say, you know, again, one of the few that can bring a lot more to the table for families of loss. The other part would be it's calibrated me. And I would say for better and for worse, because calibration in the sense of, you know, if you go back in my timeline of things that were maybe painful or caused me to suffer, if you plot all of those out and then you compare them to our loss of Vivian, I mean, none of them compare. Mm. So it can be difficult as a midwife meeting a woman in the space where maybe in my eyes, it's something that's very trivial. So it takes more effort for me to meet that woman in that space with something that, like I said, would be trivial in my eyes, which wasn't the case prior to Vivian. Yeah, instant clarity, it's calibrated me, but overall, I'm definitely, you know, a better person and a better midwife because of all of it, for sure.
And if you're comfortable, do you want to talk about Vivian's labor or how you came to know that she passed? Is that something you're willing to share with our listeners?
I think it's complicated because I was working on labor and delivery, the unit that I actually gave birth to her. So I knew all of these people. But okay, so let me go back. So had a pretty uneventful pregnancy, but once again, got cholestasis with Vivian. And then it actually happened earlier with her, and my bile acids were rising faster than they did with the boys. So that was an interesting piece. I had been to my appointment on a Friday. You know, everything was great. Fetal heart tones were just fine. No concerns. She was as active as, you know, usual. And that was right around 34 weeks. Then I picked up a shift on Monday. And that Monday, because I had gotten my most recent bile acids back, they had risen again. So we had on that Monday scheduled an induction in 2 weeks at 36 weeks to have her because of the rising bile acids.
Sure.
So anyway, Monday night went to bed and I woke up a little bit startled. I would normally wake up with her being quite active at night. And so I had realized she was moving less. So I kind of prompted, you know, pushing on my belly and moving around, trying to see if I could get her to move. And it was about an hour and I felt a big movement, what I thought was her. And mind you, you know, this is like 1 a.m. or something. So I'm tired, you know, in the midst of it all. And so I fell back asleep thinking that she was okay. And I was scheduled to work that next day. So I got up early, ate breakfast. And normally she would be active after I ate. And she wasn't. And what's interesting, and this is another, you'll hear this from those who have lost a baby in the actual medical field, you think with what you think with your mom brain. So when I say that, like some listeners out there would be like, well, it's obvious, you know, why didn't you act sooner? But I was thinking with my mom brain, I was downplaying, I was thinking she was okay. So I go to labor and delivery and I'm there early. And it just so happened that one of my very good friends at the time was an OBGYN resident, and she happened to be on the unit just by chance. And so I saw her very first thing and said, I didn't feel Vivian move as much last night. And so we went in the room and she got the Doppler and of course couldn't find a heartbeat. So went and got the sonogram and silence. You know, she could not say the words. Mm-hmm. She was with me all the way through the pregnancy. She was someone I spent a lot of time with. So she couldn't say the words. Mm-hmm. So an OB on the unit came into the room and basically said, "I don't see anything." Mm-hmm. And again, you know what that means as a provider, mm-hmm. but my mom brain was, in full mode. And so I'm like, "I don't know what that means. What are you saying?" Mm-hmm. And she had to say, there's no heartbeat. Mm-hmm. And then of course, then it, became real. So mm-hmm. we went home, or I went home, met my husband, and we, started packing. We had a little bit of time at home, but for us, it felt right. We didn't have to go back that night. We could have bought ourselves some time, but mm-hmm. we made the decision to start the induction process. That night we have, our boys were 11 and 13 at the time. Mm. So that was a whole piece too, trying to, comfort them, explain things to them, and they're old enough to understand. And they were very excited. One was gaining a new role of big brother, and mm-hmm. and because of the age gap, they were just super excited, and knowing that she was a girl, they were over the moon about her. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the piece too, that we often don't fully recognize that connection of older siblings to a baby in the womb. Mm-hmm. They are more connected than we realize. And I would even say earlier than you might realize. Mm-hmm. So there is absolutely a soul connection. That goes beyond whatever worldview or faith-based worldview you might have. There's a soul connection there. That was a Tuesday. She was born that next day. I think it was one of those moments. It was this yin and yang, basically, because you didn't want it to end because you knew that once she was born, mm-hmm. the clock started ticking. So there was an element of really not wanting this to happen because she would no longer be with me. So that was a hard piece. And I think it's interesting because I had no epidurals with the boys and not with her either, but hers was much more painful. And I really feel strongly it was because of the emotional piece behind it all. So, affirming too the environment and the conditions of women giving birth absolutely play a huge role in how they cope with labor and birth. She came pretty quickly once my water broke. She came, really fast. Mm. My midwife was there. My good friend, the OBGYN resident, was there. My husband, my mom. And so we all, got to meet her. She was perfect, beautiful. Mm. There was nothing wrong with her. I don't believe it was cholestasis. It could have been, but she had a cord that was so tightly coiled in two places that it was so thin and narrow that they were really, at least looking at it, there's just no way she was getting oxygen, through that cord. We kind of say she was doing twirls in there. We had offered our boys to come and meet her, and they chose to. And again, we felt they were old enough that we wanted to give them that opportunity. And in hindsight, we're so, so thankful that we did. Mm-hmm. So they did. They came, they met her, they held her, and she was real. It was, I think, a mix of emotions. Of course, there was an element of shock for me. Being the unit that I was on and that I worked on, they did have some perinatal loss support in place. However, it became very apparent to me in the moment of what was lacking and what was missing. Mm-hmm. So I will tell you, kind of fast forwarding, we delivered her, or I had her in October. By December, I had formed a perinatal loss committee that was hospital-wide. Wow. We had representation from the ER, from day surgery, from labor and delivery. And we began the work of trying to shore up and better support women, you know, who came in with early losses, late losses. So, yeah, again, to have given birth in October, started the committee in December. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things you either choose to, and you can go two ways, right? You can experience something like this and curl up in a fetal position in a ball and stay in your black, dark hole. Or, you know, you can take the time to grieve, right? But then you take a breath and you can use it. You can use it for something better. And I think that my husband and I both, we chose the latter. Life-altering, bone-crushing, for sure, but we like to think that we're using that experience to help others.
Tiffany, just to kind of pivot our conversation a little bit back to your midwifery care, what is one thing that you wish expectant families knew going into birth or into parenting?
Really, my big point, you know, is understanding the full scope of a nurse midwife. Because as we touched on, depending on where you live, it's well accepted or it's just really not fully understood. That's huge. If you've chosen a nurse midwife because you're pregnant, it doesn't have to end there. You know, we're still your people for, you know, your care all the way through, you know, menopause. We'd definitely, you know, really like to hit that note. One of the other things is hiring a doula. I mean, it's funny with first timers, especially, but even those who've had babies before, there's lots of misconceptions with, you know, nurse midwives that we're going to be at the bedside the entire time, that we have the option to definitely go with you if you are transferred. And it's just not always the case. And so when you have that doula as your support person, they form a relationship with you too. And, you know, Shannon, I know you'll be able to speak to this, but so there's a relationship there as well. And they're a constant for you. So if we have other moms in labor, there's, you know, generally just one of us. And so we are shared. And when you have that doula, you know, she's with you the entire time. Mm-hmm. And then there's definitely some maneuver, some expertise that doulas bring to the table that can definitely complement the care of midwives. So definitely consider a doula. I think the other point too, which I mentioned before, was knowing and recognizing that you have a voice. Can't encourage enough to ask questions. Definitely knowing what the risks and benefits are of any intervention, of screening, of testing done, whether that's in a birth center setting, whether you're transferred to a hospital, a home birth midwife. Definitely ask those questions and recognizing that there is power in what you want. Mm-hmm.
Here's a pop quiz question for you. This isn't one that I sent you. So
okay.
I just want to know what your favorite part of being a midwife is. What do you love the most?
You know, I mean, there's just nothing like, I mean, your mind's eye, right? When you are in the space, and I'm going to, like, there's so many different thoughts and words in my head to get this out. So bear with me, but to, again, have had that hospital clinic setting, pretty traditional, and witness birth there. Like, it's, you know, it's great and it's wonderful. But to see it completely unencumbered in a birth center setting, and you've got, I mean, I can distinctly, you know, there's one that's in my mind's eye right now where, you know, she had a pretty intense labor. It was quite progressive. She didn't push for too long, and the father is right there at her side. She delivered standing up by the side of the bed, and then as soon as baby came, you know, we got her to the bedside where she just kind of sat on the back of her heels, and she held her baby just out from her face. You know, there's no beeping, there's no IV fluids. It is just a mom and a dad meeting their baby for the very first time. And you are literally standing on the sidelines, taking it all in. It is the most beautiful, I get choked up, the most beautiful thing to witness. And you are just there to facilitate and support and, you know, within the confines of safety. it's just magical. It's spiritual. There's, it's just almost indescribable. That is beyond rewarding to be able to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. As we wrap up our time here, I just want to ask you, where do you see the future of your field going?
You know, again, it can seem like two steps forward, one back, or even, you know, one step forward, two steps back in some instances. I keep a pulse on birth centers around the country, and I've read a lot over the last several years who, you know, they've closed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you hear these stories or the headlines or whatever, it can be very discouraging and thinking that you're losing ground. But, you know, then you hear the ones that are popping up, that are starting. Midwifery practices, even, you know, in the hospital setting, they're growing. They're adding more midwives to their practices. They're starting up a hospital-based midwifery group. You know, all of those things are super encouraging. When I ran across, it was 2 weeks ago, I always like to keep my head in research and, you know, what's kind of the greatest and latest out there. And I've never heard about Body Ready Method. Just so happened that the founder was having an introductory series. It was 3 series, 1 hour long. And it was initially like filmed kind of live, I think. So she was mentioning that there were 6,000 birth workers a part of this pre-series. And that just like caught me, knowing that there were 6,000 birth workers attending this video series really, you know, spoke to me and kind of fed that spirit of hope, because these people were from all over, like they were all over the nation and beyond. So you think about who they're talking to and, you know, word of mouth and influencing. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there'll be a number of these birth workers who will actually go on to get her certification. So I'm optimistic. I am. And I think that to your point that you validated earlier, that we are the game changers. And I think that word is catching on. I'm definitely optimistic.
Tiffany, how can people connect with you if they have questions for you or even just interested in picking your brain? What's your preference for a way for people to connect with you?
Would love to speak with anybody, you know, just to make that known. So probably a Facebook message me. I have an email. You could definitely, you know, send me an email. I'm pretty good at responding that way.
I'd be happy to put those in the show notes.
So you can use my tiffany.houston@frontier.edu.
Perfect. Thanks so much for joining us today, Tiffany, and for sharing with us your passion and even how birth has transformed you from the inside out as a mother and also as a midwife and the way you're caring for women and families. Just really appreciate all that you're doing and the way you're dedicated to the field. So thank you so much.
You're welcome, Shannon. And again, thank you for having me on. I love that we've kept in contact. Leave it to a conference where we feel hips and sacrums to connect us. I'm super excited for the path of your podcast and definitely appreciate all that you do to further women's health. It's an honor and a pleasure.
I love how powerful stories are in our lives, how much they can change a person, how our stories tell others about who we are and where we are headed. And not just how much those stories can change us, but also change the trajectory of our lives. Thank you for spending time in your day to dive deep into stories of how birth has transformed all of us from the inside out.